For the rest of this hour, a disease that doesn't get much coverage in the West but is still quite a killer. Malaria kills over 1 million people each year, most of them children younger than 5 in sub-Saharan Africa. No vaccine for malaria has been approved for widespread use, but now there's news of an experimental vaccine tested in mice that its creators say has the potential to wipe out the disease in entire geographic regions. This vaccine wipes out the malaria parasite in the mosquito, so it can't be passed from one person to another. But while the vaccine could curb and maybe eventually halt the spread of malaria, as I say, in an entire geographic region, it does not protect the person getting the vaccination. Would people get a vaccine they know wouldn't help them to stop the spread of a deadly disease? The researchers report on this vaccine in the current issue of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And joining us now to talk about the study is Owen Rennert. Dr. Rennert is Scientific Director in the Division of Intramural Research at NIH and Human Development at NIH. Oh, and National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. That's the whole different division there at NIH in Bethesda, Maryland. He joins us by phone from his office. Welcome to the program, Dr. Rennert.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, as I say, this is not a typical vaccine we typically think of because the person who gets the vaccine is not being protected from malaria, right?
Correct.
How does this work?
It's based on the observation that malaria has, if you will, two hosts and two life cycles. Life cycle one is in the mosquito, where the malaria parasite develops from an egg to become infectious. That infectious parasite particle is injected into the second host, the human, when the mosquito bites the human, and then there's a cycle that leads to the development and formation of eggs that in turn are ingested by the mosquito. But while all of that's happening in the human host, the human host develops a disease called malaria. Mm-hmm. And the objective of this vaccine is to interrupt that life cycle by, in essence, stopping the development of the parasite in the mosquito. And the technique for doing that is to take an egg-specific protein that's a part of the life cycle in the mosquito, and immunizing humans against that protein, and then having antibodies produced in the human so that when the human is bitten by the mosquito ingests these antibodies that subsequently arrest development of the parasite in the mosquito.
So you sort of make the mosquito sterile for malaria.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it cannot pass it on anymore to some other people.
Correct.
But it has to work, as I say, by someone who has already been bitten and has malaria.
Yes, but there would be two points. One would be, at least, that's the way the disease is passed now, by the mosquito biting infected individuals, mm-hmm. and subsequently then biting individuals that don't have the disease. And the second part is that, if you will, with this vaccine, you could envision the first bite victim who's immunized doesn't get protection from the vaccine, but you may, in fact, abort infection in the second and third and so on individual that's bitten by that mosquito.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking about a potential new vaccine with Dr. Owen Rennert. Your study says if this works, it has a potential, really, to wipe out whole regions of malaria. How would that happen?
So it's an example of what's called the herd effect. If you, in fact, immunize a large enough percentage of the population, and you eradicate the reservoir of the offending agent, in this case, the parasite in the mosquito, then, in fact, the parasite will disappear from the environment because of the fact that it no longer can replicate itself and therefore die out.
And how long would it take to begin to see this effect if it started to work?
Well, if this worked and you could do it, I would anticipate that you probably could see an effect possibly within months to years.
Well, that's pretty quickly, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. I think this is a novel approach. It's called basically to develop a vaccine that blocks transmission of the disease. And there is, in principle, actually, that approach has been tried before, in that that approach is what we do when we immunize against Lyme disease.
And has this been tested in enough laboratory rats and mice and animals that we're ready to try it out in people?
Well, I think the issue is that in the mouse, it induces potent levels of the antibody, more than enough to stop the development of the parasite in the mosquito. Secondarily, that our investigators have documented that that effect is persistent at protective levels, or at levels that block transmission, up to 7 months after an immunization and potentially longer. And that what one would attempt to do in humans at this point would be, first of all, to see whether the vaccine induces antibody production in humans, and secondarily, whether the vaccine is safe, either that the antibody levels that are produced will work in a model system when you get it from the human, and secondarily, that there are no untoward effects from this.
Mm-hmm. And how close are we to this stage?
Well, if you ask our investigators, I would say potentially months, soon. But I can't pin it down any more precisely than that.
Mm-hmm. And you think that there would be volunteers who would willingly become injected with the vaccine?
Yeah, so there are two approaches. One, first of all, actually is a consequence of someone I talked to the other day who had malaria, and who was for several years in an endemic area for malaria. And they said, this disease is so bad and so prevalent, everyone, if they understood what you were doing, would volunteer to be immunized to get rid of this disease that kills so many children. And the second, obviously, is that what our investigators are thinking about are things that you might do as well that could protect the individual who's bitten, who is, if you will, the first bite that leads to the development of these antibodies to block transmission. So one could explore, for example, the possibilities of other vaccines being used as well so that you protect the individuals that receive such an immunization.
If you can create such a strong antibody reaction in people,
yes,
why can't you do that to people who are infected and let them fight off the disease?
The point is that the two life cycles of the malaria parasite are different. And the proteins and the forms of the malaria parasite that occur in the mosquito are never seen by the human host and the cycle that occurs in the human. So, in fact, the reason that you, or at least one potential reason, that you get such a potent response in the human is because of the fact that the human has never seen the protein or antigen that this vaccine was made from, which is an extract of a form that only exists in the mosquito.
Why could you not create, being a little bit more creative, something that the humans have never seen, and creating a stronger reaction in the form that would help cure people with it?
Well, so that's without question another thought. But to date, that has been very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's see if we can get a call or two. How about Mike in Tulsa? Hi, Mike.
Howdy. I have a question about non-human carriers, you know, I really don't know how this works for malaria, but why could the animals that are around these villages in sub-Saharan Africa not be vaccinated, you know, cattle and pigs and dogs and whatever else gets bitten by mosquitoes, and would that not carry the same antibodies?
If you immunize the other animals that might be bitten by the mosquito, that's quite true. You could have other animals serve as a vector for the development of the antibody. I think part of the thing is that there's only the major mosquito class that the malaria parasite propagates in is Anopheles, and the Anopheles seems to have a preferential taste for humans.
Oh. Well, would pigs or things that are similar tasting, I guess, to mosquitoes, be possible surrogates?
I think they would be additions, but not surrogates.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike. This sounds a little ghoulish, but is it possible to create banks of just human blood that's contaminated, you know, that's infected, and find some way to have mosquitoes attack it without the people themselves?
Well, that's in essence the model system that our investigators used to assess the biological consequences of this antibody. That is to say, what they exposed mosquitoes to was a container of blood that contained red blood cells that had the malaria parasite in them and that had the antibody in it, and basically put a little membrane between the tube of blood and the mosquito and induced the mosquito to bite and drink of the little tube. And then they could show that they blocked the maturation of the malaria parasite in the mosquito.
Couldn't you create little traps like that, you know, around, hanging around?
I would think you could, but I think you'd have to find good meal substitutes, if you will, that mosquitoes and the right type of mosquito would go after.
Talking with Dr. Owen Rennert of the NIH on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. So we're not substituting human body for mosquitoes. They're not going for it, at least in this stage. Let's see if we can get a phone number, a phone call. Let's go to is it Hi-Young Lee in San Jose?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. How are you guys doing? I'm just calling in to make a comment that it's very interesting to see that after Bill Gates has been putting in the funding and also President Bush provides the initiative, right now the vaccine for malaria is developing. But I want to point out there's a physician in China has been doing a great job in this area. However, he's really lack of funding to push the medicine he developed forward. His name is Guo Chao Li, and he's well recognized by United Nations. He has wiped off malaria in China 10 years ago, and then he went on to help Vietnam to wipe off malaria 5 years ago. Right now he's working in Cambodia and some of the African countries to help do the same thing. He had a very grand goal of wipe malaria off the earth, and the medicine he developed is also very simple and very inexpensive. However, he's really lack of funding to push that in mass scale to help this wipe off the world, and that's his goal. I just want to make that comment. I try to help him, but I just don't know what the right channel to get through and to make it happen. And to go through the FDA trial takes too long and too much resource that he does not have. But currently, the proven record is malaria is extinct in China 10 years ago, in Vietnam 5 years ago.
All right, Dr. Rennert, you hear anything about this?
No, I'm afraid I don't know it, but that doesn't mean anything. What I simply would encourage in response to the comments, I think there are multiple approaches that are being explored throughout the world to eradicate malaria. And I think clearly independent of the present push and recognition of that, it is an old problem and a problem that has merited approaches over time, and it's unfortunate that we haven't made more progress. The other part I'd sort of stress is, you know, that relates a little bit even to the return of certain insecticides. And the fact is that developing a blocking antibody or another approach is, in essence, an extension of the notion of eradicating the vector, the host, for the mosquito and its cycle outside of the human. And one cheap way that people have suggested to reduce the incidence of malaria is to reintroduce things like DDT and spray and kill the mosquito. So there are multiple approaches. And I think all of them need to be explored, tested, and then put into action.
All right, Dr. Reddett, we'll watch to see how this one pans out. It sounds like something may happen soon, at least human-wise.
I hope so.
Yeah. Owen Rennert is Scientific Director in the Division of Intramural Research at the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development at NIH. Thank you, Dr. Rennert, for taking time to be with us today, and have a happy holiday.
Thank you. The same to you.
This program is produced by Karen Vergoth and Senior Producer Annette Heist. Our directors are Sarah Handel in Washington, Charles Berquist in New York. Laura Lichtman is our producer for digital media. Our intern is Steve Orns. Carrie Wolfson and Becky Vlamis work the phones for us today. And if you'd like to write to us the classic mail way, where post office is still delivering, it's Science Friday, 4 West 43rd Street, room 306, New York, New York, 10036. If you'd like to go the digital way, you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com, or you can leave us email. We also have Science Friday's Kids Connection is up there, where we produce free teaching material. If you want to be, you know, some teaching material about what we talk about on Science Friday and add science to your curriculum, we have the teaching material up there for you. Just click on the teachers button. Also, we're podcasting, as always, and we're blogging. If you'd like to respond to the blogs, we're happy to get your response. Also, we have social communities now springing up by themselves in Facebook, and also one in Squidoo. Squidoo, you can share your knowledge with everybody about what you like the most. Have a safe and Merry Christmas if you're celebrating. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.